This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Outdoor Edge and their complete lineup of replaceable blade knives, fixed blade knives, and game processing kits. Now, we've all been there before, trying to field dress your wild game with a dull knife. This is where Outdoor Edge really steps in. With the Razor Safe system, you can have a brand new razor sharp blade with just the push of a button. No more dull blades and no more problems processing your wild game. To check out all of the products from Outdoor Edge, visit OutdoorEdge.com. And at checkout, enter the discount code NATION30, that's NATION30, for 30% off of your purchase.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And on the show today, I'm going to be forecasting my 2022 season. Now, 2021 was awesome, had a lot of good stuff, but I will say, there were some slow parts to it. In fact, there were a lot of times where I didn't get out and hunt when I normally would have, just from a bunch of different circumstances coming up and things that I had to deal with. But 2022 is going to be amazing. I can already tell. And to talk about it is my wife, Samantha Matthews. So she is hanging out with me today. We're going to chat all about the upcoming season, what that holds for me, as well as what we hope for the business, for the podcast, all of that. Lots of cool things. I want to make you aware of something also. During this process, during the past couple of weeks, we have been designing some t-shirts. Actually, we've had a friend design some t-shirts for us, revamping a couple things, making a secondary logo, if you will. And so we are hoping to launch a bunch of products coming out here in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that and follow along with the journey. On whatever social media platform you choose, you can see some pictures, and I'm hoping to start doing more videoing and posting of actual hunts that I go on. So before I keep rambling, we're going to jump into this podcast and see what 2022 holds in store.
Like, he was doing things that were just badass.
That was one of the coolest moments of my life.
I was really scared, but knowing that Dan had the gun, I did have the rifle, like, we would be okay.
All right, guys, welcome to today's episode of the show, and with me on the show, live in studio, by studio, I mean closet, is my wife and manager, Samantha Matthews.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me again. Always good to be on.
So today we're going to talk about 2022 and figure out exactly what that looks like for the podcast, for hunts, for a lot of different things.
I think I'm excited to find out because I really only know what your January and February look like. I know what the fall excited. Looks like. I'm excited to find out and learn when you have hunts planned.
You're my wifeager. You're supposed to know this already.
I mean, we had a rough end to 2021, so we haven't really.
Just a lot of craziness.
Yeah.
And moving Sickness. Around and being sick. A lot of stuff going on. But I think 2022 is going to be awesome. Hopefully a lot of cool partnerships. Hopefully a lot of cool merchandise coming out, which yeah. we know that's happening. But hopefully we have a lot more. And as far as hunts go, I've got some pretty cool hunts to kick off 2022 already.
Yes. I brought a notepad too, so I can write these down.
Yeah, you better write them all down, take notes. So I guess we can just start from now moving forward
yeah.
what the year looks like. I've got, let's see, it's the 12th today. I've got 3 more days for archery whitetail season.
It's still going on.
It's still going
on. Oh my gosh.
I have 3 days to connect with a buck. And then it's done.
You better get out every day. 3 days, that's not bad.
Yeah. So I've got to get out, start chasing after deer. Waterfowl is going on until the end of January. But as far as like bigger hunts that aren't the tail end hunts from 2021.
Yeah.
At some point at the end of this month or beginning of next month, I've got to head out to Utah. And I'm going to go hang out with Dustin Clark. He runs a page called The Hunting Fam. He runs hounds for mountain lions, bears, all kinds of different stuff. So
yeah, that should be a lot of fun.
I'll go out there for probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 days, run hounds with him, try to connect with a big mountain lion in Utah.
Mark that off your bucket list.
That doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem like
he showed me a picture of one and I'm like, wait, what? He was like, yeah, this could happen.
Yeah, sometimes they're almost face to face with them because the trees out there aren't super tall. And so they might only be like 6 or 7 feet off the ground.
That'd be cool.
So I've got that coming up. Then in March, actually end of February beginning yeah. of March, I'm heading down with Hunts for Heroes to Texas to do a hog hunt on some public land down there.
I may tag along on a few of these. Not to hunt. Maybe if we have a family that can watch the kids, but just the family would come along and you hunt and the kids and I will explore.
Yeah. I mean, that's really all that I have guaranteed.
Yeah.
I know the dates. I know for sure I'm going.
Dan gets a lot of invites on social media like, hey, come hunt with me up in Oregon or New York or Indiana. So who knows what the next few months will hold.
Yeah, I think those hunts are for sure going to happen. I know my Colorado hunt's going to happen.
Oh, yeah,
I'll go out there for rifle season for elk.
Was that September, October?
End of October, typically the last week, or sometimes it bleeds into the first week of November. So,
yes,
I've got that one. I've got that one. I know Wisconsin whitetail, that's going to happen.
Yeah, every year we go up for Thanksgiving to Wisconsin. So that's a tradition for us. Dan hunts. This last year was real successful for you.
It was good. I'm excited to get back up there and get Aiden out and
yeah.
help him shoot a deer.
Yeah.
My nephew came out with me last year for the first time, sat with me one time in a double stand. This year, we sat together 2 times and discovered at the end of it that he could actually get a license as an apprentice without his hunter safety if yeah. he sat with me. And so we got him a license. Unfortunately, we didn't really see much. And next year, my number one goal is going to be to get him a deer.
I think I need a buck this year.
I know. Well,
can I
you
add
need
this
to actually
to the list?
Just hunt period this year.
I need to actually get
Last
out.
Last year, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go out. You shoot a deer the first day you've ever been out. And then
I'm done.
And then you haven't
gone
out.
Was that
this
past?
Since.
No, it was 2019?
2020's deer season.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
So, yeah, Wisconsin's going to happen. And then from there, it's just Missouri seasons and whatever else we add in. I've had offers for elk in Wyoming and Montana. Mm-hmm. I would love to chase an elk with my bow this year. That's like
yeah,
super high on the list. The hunt with Linnea, that's going to happen at some
Arizona at some point.
Well, so we're talking about not doing Arizona and potentially doing like Utah, Nevada, Wyoming, somewhere.
Oh, okay.
With a bow.
Still on the West Coast. Or
mule deer probably still. And so.
Yeah, our friend Linnea lives in a van. She's super adventurous.
Lives in a van down by the river.
In a boat. Just kidding. And she's getting into hunting. And so Dan's going to go show her the ropes.
Yeah.
Try to get her on something.
We were going to do an Arizona hunt, but we wanted to make sure it was the highest chance of success. And it seemed like we had to plan it last minute. So we pulled the plug on that. We're gonna try to make it happen a different time. But we've got that hunt. Man, now that I keep thinking about it, there's just more and more and more and more.
It's so, okay. I'm still writing.
Yeah. I did talk to Sean Leshinsky on the podcast, I don't know, 3 episodes ago. And he and I were talking about the moose hunt in the Yukon.
Oh.
Chasing after a bull moose with our bows.
This is Dan's like dream hunt. This is our dream hunt.
So, well, the reason it came up in conversation is because he's like, dude, I owe you. You've been on all these big hunts with me.
Yeah.
It's time to cash in. So let me know whenever you're ready. And I was like, dude, I'm ready whenever you're ready. And he's like, well, it's up to you. So tell me the dates and we're going to make it happen.
This is the first time I'm hearing about this.
I know. I was like, maybe we'll try to make it happen this year.
Okay.
And if not this year, for sure next year. Because I don't want to wait like 3, 5, 10 years. Otherwise, it just won't ever happen.
Yeah.
You know. So I might have to get on a call and have a serious talk with him and say, hey, listen. These would be the dates. This is the cost. This is where we'd go. Like, try to get actual plans.
Yeah, in commitment. Place.
Because, oh my gosh, that would also be an insane hunt.
I feel like it's important to note right now, if any wife of a hunter or female hunters are listening and wondering, like, how the heck does he hunt all the time or how am I okay with it? There's a lot to it. So, one, like, podcasting, outdoors, hunting, it's his job, but it's also his passion. And so I like that he gets to do it. We also have a lot of family close to us. And so we're super thankful and blessed just to have the help. So my sister, my mom, my grandparents, so they help a lot with the kids. But I don't know. I feel like every time he goes hunting, he comes back like more appreciative and more helpful. You know, and it's a trade-off. Like I said, it's his job, but he also loves doing it. And so I'm excited for him when he gets to meet other people or have different like opportunities. But also if I'm having a hard day or, you know, we have something planned, like if I'm upfront and honest with him, he's understanding, like, and not just going to go. I know a lot of people on social media don't like when I say like, I let my husband hunt, but that's kind of how it is.
It's,
you know,
it's clickbaity.
I mean,
people see it and they're like, oh, I've got to comment on this, but
It's just respect.
Yeah, you've been super supportive and helpful and encouraging throughout this whole process. And one important thing to note is that I'm not gone 40 hours a week at
exactly,
a job.
Exactly, exactly.
And so...
So that's a big difference from, you know, someone who does work 8 to 5 and then who's hunting 4 mornings out of the week. You know, that would be hard. But for us, he's home all day with me working, or we're at Panera working. And so he sees the kids more. He sees me more. So when he's gone in the mornings, like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And some of my hunts coincide with vacations. And so not only
am I not spending a bunch of money
on the hunt, because it's just money that we would have already spent on vacation. It's not like completely isolated or like a $20,000 hunting budget for the year.
Right.
So there's a lot of things that go into it. But this year, I'm excited to just continue to connect with other people.
Yeah.
I need to set some goals. Maybe we can do that on this podcast.
For sure.
We can talk about, exactly what we're hoping to get out of it, both from the podcast side of things, social media side of things, relationships, and experiences. Because there's a lot of people that have reached out, and I would love to put something together where I can either travel and meet a bunch of them or put an event on.
I know we've talked about doing like a meetup. Maybe we could do that like mid-year, beginning of fall or something.
Yeah, I mean, like all these different organizations put on either meetups or they go to events like just this last week was the ATA, the Archery Trade Association trade show. And a lot of people get together at places like that. And so I think it would be cool to have almost like a BHA rendezvous, but like a mini one, backcountry hunters and anglers. Do like a rendezvous, but for podcast listeners, for fellow podcasters, we could just get together, hang out, meet some of the listeners, maybe make some cool connections. Maybe I'll start working on setting something like that up.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that I think would benefit from just meeting each other face to face, and a lot of cool stories that could come from that.
Yeah. Last night we talked about a couple of vendor booths or doing, you know, something similar to the ATA. And so if we can get something like that on the calendar and then schedule that around it, I think that'd be cool.
I just had a really funny idea.
And he just smiled at me looking, and I'm like, what are you
You're
going
to hate what I'm about to say.
How do you know I'm going to hate it?
I know.
Okay.
I absolutely know.
Okay, go for it.
And the reason I bring this up is because this guy, Josh, up in Wisconsin that I met with, he was like, dude, I need to come down to Missouri for the White Trash Succotash Bash.
Oh my gosh.
And I was thinking, and I'm like, man, that would be just a super easy event to invite a bunch of random people to. It's already put on. We know it's going to happen. We could put on our own.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, now you need to go into detail of what the White Trash Succotash Bash is.
I've talked about it a lot on the show.
You have, okay.
Anybody who's listened to more than maybe 10 episodes has heard it.
So, and you've explained why I hate it?
No, I haven't explained why you hate it. Basically, we used to host it at our house. Now it's at our old house, but our friend lives there.
Yeah.
And
it started out great. Like,
it started out great.
Succotash, a hog or whatever we cooked, deer. And it was like family friendly. I mean, at the time we didn't have kids. Was the first year when we had Canyon or when I was pregnant?
When you were pregnant, probably.
Oh, that was the first year?
I think so.
Sorry, everybody who came to that.
Okay, I'm going to make this short and sweet. Sam said, hey, let's just do close friends and family. And so I sent out the announcement to all my buddies that normally come. I'm like, hey, listen, it's not an invite everybody type of year. Let's just hang out.
Mind you, I'm like 37 and a half weeks pregnant.
Yeah, super preggo. All of a sudden,
I'm walking outside. Day comes.
The White Trash Succotash Bash, for those that don't know, is just a 4th of July party. And it's a super redneck 4th of July party. We all get together, dress
up. We're like cut off jeans.
Very trashy.
Like,
and the night before we go out and do go out frog gigging, we do a big frog leg fry. We smoke a whole pig.
We sound so redneck right now.
We do all kinds of crazy stuff, but it's amazing. And I've heard people from like other cities say,
talk about it.
Oh yeah, I heard there's this thing in Walnut Grove just south of Springfield. And I mean, they have the general idea, but they don't realize what it actually is.
Telephone.
So anyways, we've been putting this on. I tell everybody, we're trying to keep it to like 40, 50 people. We probably should have 190 people show up to it.
Oh my gosh.
And we had no parking for, I mean, we could have parked in the backfield, but everyone just kind of started blocking each other in.
Yeah.
And then at one point during the night, they were having a Roman candle war
and I like
bottle rocket
got
war
shot
within the parking area. So people's cars are getting pelted. All of this is happening on our property. Sam almost got shot and she just shut the whole thing down. So
yeah, there's another situation, but I was like, we're done. Everybody out.
Yep. She, like, she lost
and it,
her
I
mind.
Feel like it was one of those like high school or not necessarily college party, but where like the cops come and in minutes, everyone is gone and
the
it's
cops
dead
come,
silent.
Or the
That's
parents
legit
show
how it
up.
Was like, Sam was just like, we're
Sam,
done.
Sam turned
everyone
into,
was gone.
Sam turned into Karen and was like, all right, everybody out right now. This is not going to work out anymore. Yeah. And so she hated it, but it worked out all right in the end because we then drove our school bus, which also sounds super funny and redneck. We
in
drove
field,
our school bus up on top of the hill on the back 40 and watched fireworks from the city.
Yeah.
Sitting so on top of the school bus.
It did end well.
So it ended well, but anyways.
So you're saying that he wants to come down for it.
He wants to come down for it because he loves smoking meat. He heard about it, that we smoke meat. I showed him some videos.
What about like on Drew's property or Brad's property?
And that's the thing. We could just set something really cool up, find a good property to do it on, and just get everybody together. And I think we could still do it out there, like do it out by the pond and just have everybody come out, get a porta potty or a couple of them, do our own.
Yeah.
Obviously not at the same time, but we can get people to come down and just hang out, do some fishing, whatever.
Okay, I'm open to it. open.
Anyways, wow, that went off in a crazy direction. So,
hey, it's part of the calendar.
I think to get a lot of people together like that would be a good time.
It would be fun.
To make those connections, have other people. I'll send out an invite first off to all of the people that have been guests on the show. Listen, we're putting this together. If you want to come out and hang out, sweet. Try to get some sponsors, do some raffles, things like that. Mm-hmm. I think.
And then probably next to your subscribers, because I think it's probably.
Oh, for sure.
We can't just do straight social media, but.
Well, I think we probably.
Or maybe an invite only. Or like do it and then they have to like.
I mean, let's be real. I don't think it's going to be like 12,000 people showing
no,
up.
No, that's true. That's
if
true.
If it is, we'd have to buy a whole lot of hot dogs. But we could even have like a big game feast, a chili cook-off, like do a lot of different things with it. I don't know. That's going to be conversations that we have a lot of coming up soon. So, what about hunts that you want to go on this year?
I really want to get a buck. I think I'm kind of turned off to any waterfowl just because my first experience was the first big snow of the year. I had a hole in my boot. We forgot the sunflower heater. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's just a heater that goes on top of a propane tank that looks like
a sunflower
head.
So I was freezing and miserable and wanted to leave the second I got there. And I drew the worst blind location pill
basically
ever.
You draw, they call it drawing the pill. It's really just a little die with a number on it. But yeah, you draw and it goes from, I think, 1 to 36.
And I chose like 36.
35 maybe.
So all of that mixed together, I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Basically,
and
we were
duck isn't my favorite to
we
cook
were the
or eat.
35th out of 36 groups to decide where to sit. So we basically ended up with the second worst.
Yeah.
Blind, but
so
that's all right. Waterfowl hunting changes all the time. I've never been on two waterfowl hunts that were exactly the same ever. I mean, you can go to the same place one day apart. And have a totally different experience.
Yeah, that's
so,
true.
I okay, think so for buck. You to get in, you want a buck. That's number one
and
on your
I
bucket list.
And I feel like
list.
Something small game like squirrel.
Do you have, hold on, back to the buck. Do you have a size that you're going for? An age structure?
Maybe like 4x4?
Well,
8 point?
Hold on. Yeah. You can't be in Missouri and say a 4x4.
Oh, sorry.
You're bringing Colorado verbiage here to Missouri.
Really? Missouri whitetail aren't that big?
No. Missouri, we go by the pointer
system,
right? So like anywhere within a state, maybe even up to two states west of the Mississippi River goes by points.
Okay.
Everybody close to the Rocky Mountains goes by 4x4, 5x5, 4x5. So
okay, so I need to say
so,
points.
Or they'll also say it's a 4 point, but a 4 point means it has 4 points
on
each
side. Okay.
In Wisconsin, in Missouri, in most of the places I've whitetail hunted, it is however many points it has, that's what you call it. So an 11 pointer, an 8 pointer, a 6 pointer. The only exception to that is if it has two, it's a fork. Or, I mean, if it has two, it's a spike. If it has four, it's a fork, a forky, a forkhorn, all sorts of different names. But anything above four, it's like a 5 point, 6 point, 7 point, 8 point.
So I need to say an 8 point?
Yeah.
I'd say six to eight.
You want a 6 point up to an 8 point.
Yeah. But I feel like in the moment, of course, I don't want to get too greedy.
That's what you're going for.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I mean, does are always good. I was really happy with the doe that I got the first time, but.
And we've been eating venison like crazy.
Yeah, at least like three times a week.
That's why I would like to go get another one, because by the time I get it fully processed, I feel like our freezer will be able to hold another one. I mean, we were packed full to the point where I didn't shoot another deer, because I didn't even go out hunting very often because I knew.
I mean, like even at this point, if you shoot one in the next 3 days, I mean, it'll take like a week to process. We'll eat a little, but we're still full. I mean, we have pig in there from where we used to live, from the farm. We still have fish from Alaska. We have some elk in there that we brought back from Colorado.
Yeah, we've got a lot that we need to be going through.
Super thankful. So.
So
maybe we should start posting some of our recipes on your website. We made a pot of venison roast on Sunday.
Yep.
We had venison, shredded venison quesadillas, which is one of our favorite meals. And then this morning we had shredded venison with eggs and potatoes. So good.
Really good. Yeah, we could start doing that. I don't know if we'll go with a full
cookbook
because you don't
I don't have time.
I was going to say, you've got
maybe one day. That would be cool.
You've got about five things that you make. And everything else is
That a diss?
No, I'm saying like
five good things.
No. Five things that you make often.
Yes, true.
You've got once way more than that.
But I will say I am bad in that once I find something that we like and it's good, I just keep making
it. We're super lame that way. All week, yeah. It's like, oh, hey, where should we go for lunch today? Culver's. But we just had Culver's. I know. Okay, fine. We can go to Chick-fil-A. All right. Those are like the two places we always go to eat. That's our.
And then we have the same two or three places we go for date night.
Yep.
We're lame.
I need to go through and find out how many new hunters I hunted with last year, because I think I had set a goal of hunting with 20 people that I'd never hunted with.
Yeah.
And so.
And then didn't you have a goal of taking like a few new people out?
Taking new people out.
Like me, Aiden.
So I think I need to go back and reflect and see if I met all of those goals. Mm-hmm. But then also this year, I want to do another 20 hunters.
Yeah.
Like take another 20 people out that I've never hunted with before. They don't have to be first timers, but people that may have hunted a long time ago and just got back into it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hunt with 20 people I've never hunted with before. I think that's
a good goal
that I'm probably going to keep every single year. So that's one. I want to hunt a couple new states.
Utah?
So places that I may have been but never hunted, I think would also be a good goal. Let's say three states that I've never hunted.
Okay. So Utah's one of them.
Utah? I'm trying to think.
Wyoming, maybe?
I've hunted in Wyoming. Okay. No, I could do Wyoming because I... technically haven't hunted Wyoming. I've done a lot of target shooting up there, and I went on a hunt with someone else, but I wasn't hunting myself. So those two for sure.
Can you hunt in Florida so I can go to the beach, please?
I can hunt in Florida. So yeah, maybe Florida could be the third one. I don't know.
Deal.
So I want to do that. I want to get a saddle. And start
getting
familiar with it and start doing more remote hunting and hunt more public land. That was one of my things that I wanted to do last year, and I just
did
never did it. Well, with everything that was going on during the hunting seasons this year, all the travel, all the changes, like the plans that changed, I felt more comfortable just going and sitting
doing
in my tree
normal.
Stand.
Yeah.
It was easier.
Less planning and
less
preparing.
Hassle. And I didn't even know when I would be able to get out. So I want to get a saddle system and get very familiar with that, get out and practice, and then hopefully hunt more public land as well with my bow.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So those are some of the big ones. As far as trips go, I think it's going to be a ton of different trips. I really enjoyed the Wisconsin waterfowl hunt. I also want to get up to Minnesota, the Dakotas, or Iowa to hunt with those guys.
I'd love to go to the Dakotas.
Because, we could plan a trip up there. We could even do that, like, pretty quickly. Because the guys from High Point Outfitters, they've been trying to get me to come up there and hunt with them for quite a while.
And they're in north or south?
They're in Minnesota.
Oh.
But
sorry, I thought you were saying
they hunt
the Dakotas.
North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa. Those are like four places that they hunt frequently. So actually,
you
one
know
of those
I'm
could
down.
Be my,
I,
yeah.
I told you the other night, I'm like, we just need to get a van or an RV and just travel and
travel
follow you where you hunt. And the kids and I can explore, and you know, we have our home base.
Yeah.
But
I'm curious what we're going to look back at the end of 2022. Like,
I know
what we're doing right now.
Our lives changed really quickly.
Our lives changed a ton this year.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of crazy partnerships and opportunities. And I think it's going to be the same thing this coming year. So
life and business wise it did. And so I'm really curious what.
And fingers crossed. Okay. Changing this up a little bit. One of my top goals is to finally own some property. Finally actually own it and be able to do whatever. I mean, I've had land that I could do whatever I wanted
on. We have full access to.
I've had access to it, but I have people creeping in all the time. And it's like, oh yeah, I've had permission on this for years. I knew this guy. Yeah. I knew this guy. And I'm like, but that's not how
we'll
it goes.
We'll just find like random stands.
Yeah, you'll find random stands.
Yards of
I found
his.
a cellular trail camera with and 30 corn. Pounds of corn dumped in front of it, which is illegal here. And just right behind my tree.
Yeah.
No idea who it is. I stood in front of it like with my arms out saying,
like, what's going on?
What the heck? What are you doing? Talked to the cattle farmers and the people who lease it for, well, I talked to a couple guys that were logging out there. Mm-hmm. They had no idea whose it was. I talked to the people who run cattle and rent or at least land for crops. They had no idea whose it was. So at this point, we don't know. I need to go back out and see if they took it down. I was hoping that just like me acknowledging that I knew it was there would be enough to deter them. But we've talked about going out, Drew and I going out, getting a hold of MDC.
Oh, yeah.
And just saying, hey, you want to meet us out here? I don't know whose this is. You can investigate it, whatever.
Because if you're out there hunting and they stop by, then it's you that.
Well, yeah, if I get busted because there's corn back there and. Yeah. I'd be screwed. They're not going to be like, oh, yeah,
understand.
It's somebody
it's
else's.
Not yours. Yeah.
So that's something I might need to address. But yeah, I want to do more property management this year. I want to explore more habitat improvement, find out on that chunk of property what all I'm able to do. So whether it's hinge cutting, whether it's more food plots, water sources, who knows? I want to try to put some of the things that I've been hearing about and learning about and reading about into practice and see what kind of effect it has. All right, guys, I need to take a quick second to tell you about a product that I've been using for quite a while now. It's called Bull Elk Beard Oil. Now, if you've spent any amount of time in the outdoors, whether it's on the mountain or in the marsh or in the woods, you felt the effects of the wind, the sun, and the cold on your face. What this product does, it helps you look better, feel more confident, and it helps your beard keep its moisture. Not to mention it smells great, so now when I get home after a week of elk hunting, my wife can't complain as much. I need to tell you though, I've gotten to know Brian, the founder, over the past couple months, and he's an awesome guy. He makes all of this by hand in North Dakota out of clean products. He also loves to give back to the outdoor community, whether that's through fundraisers for public land acquisitions, or even something awesome like helping donate money to cover the surgery costs of duck dogs. He's an amazing guy and he makes an amazing product. So go check out Bull Elk Beard Oil and you can get 20% off with the code NOMADIC. Now at Brad's property, we're going to do a ton of that because he owns it. He has full access and I think
we
can turn it
into 10 acres.
Yeah, it's 10 acres.
Yeah.
It feels like it walks like it's bigger than 10 acres. When you walk through it, you just feel like you're on a lot more property.
Yeah.
But it's a great spot on top of this wooded ridge system. And I think we could do some really cool bedding areas, some really cool food plots in there and turn it into kind of a whitetail destination. Because he's had a lot of big deer that have come through, but none that stick around. I mean, we're talking a couple pictures a year.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Where we want to get it to the point where they're hanging out there all year long. And I think we could do that fairly easily and fairly cheaply.
Yeah.
So
that'd be cool.
Yeah. Lots of ideas and hopes and dreams. I think that on the podcast side of things, I just want to keep connecting with more people who love the outdoors.
Yeah. And currently you just interview your followers on TikTok, followers on Instagram, friends, family, and then anyone else who reaches out.
Yeah, you know, I've reached out to several people and been like, hey, I think it'd be cool. It'd be a cool conversation. But also, we haven't talked a ton about this yet. I've got a second podcast that's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
We are still working on a name for it. The exact theme that we want to go with, we've got it narrowed down to two. But we're going to be launching a second podcast.
And when will that start? February?
February, the beginning of February is the goal for that.
So for now, he's going to go to 2 episodes a week.
Yep.
For Nomadic Outdoorsman. And one
so we'll
for that
be
one.
Airing Mondays and Thursdays. And then once we switch over to the second one, we're going to do I think that one's going to air on Tuesdays. So we'll have a podcast that comes out Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And hopefully this other one takes off. I think it's going to be a really, really cool podcast. I think there's going to be a lot of cool content and cool people that we can connect with from that. So, on your side of things as the manager, what do you want to see change?
The wifeager.
Or happen?
Okay, let me think. I do want to start emailing your subscribers on, like, every day we release an episode. Because right now we release it, and you have the jump in listens right away when it publishes or posts. But to just connect with people through email a little bit more.
Yeah.
Share your other platforms. I'd love for you to grow a little bit on Instagram. But I don't know, just keep pushing out content, make people laugh, connect with people, and hear their stories.
Ooh, I thought of a couple more. A podcast studio.
Yes, that's definitely a goal.
A podcast studio and a good video system.
Yeah.
So I've been talking with Eric Clark. He's with the Okayest Hunter.
Which you've had him on, huh?
Yep, he's been on the show before. We've been talking quite a bit recently. Super, super awesome guy. And he's recommended some video equipment to me. And so I'm hoping to get something set up with kind of a production board to where as I'm talking, the video will be on me. As my guest is talking, the video will be on them. If it's multiple people and one of them that doesn't have a video in front of them is talking, like, it'll be a wide angle shot. But that way the production value of it will go up for YouTube and stuff. Because right now it's just recordings on Zoom.
Yeah.
But anytime I have someone
which does the job, but
yeah, anytime I talk to someone in-house or in person.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's typically just my cell phone.
You don't want to sit right next to them. It's awkward. And be on the same like Zoom
it's
camera.
Weird. It's weird talking ear to ear with someone.
Like over your shoulder.
Yep.
Yeah.
So lots of...
Definitely launching and doing more on YouTube.
Yeah, and I've got 30-ish episodes ready to go. Mm-hmm. So... hopefully
we need to play catch up,
building
so
following
be a
on
weeks.
That stuff. But all of this is just to connect with more people.
Yeah.
I have seriously loved connecting with people through the hunting podcast.
Yeah.
It's probably my favorite thing that I'm doing right now is just like random people reach out. They say, hey, can I be on the show? Unfortunately, I can't take everybody because I get hundreds and hundreds of them. Well, if I do 2 episodes a week, we're talking 104 episodes a year.
And when we
on the first round, I got like 300 or 400
oh, it was
people
400.
That reached out.
Yeah. If we put out a TikTok that goes viral and people just, you know, reach out, want to be a guest, it's a lot for you to go through and, you know, filter, but it gives us just more opportunity to hear different stories and some cool ones, some crazy ones.
The whole process with that also is, I mean, people are like, oh man, my name's been in each time. I keep sending you emails. Well, what I go off of is as I'm reading through 400 emails, I read through it. If right away I'm like, yeah, this person should be on the show. I put them in a folder of people that I want to reach out to and be like, hey, here's how you get on.
If it's just really quick,
like sometimes just, it doesn't stick out. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's not interesting. It's just not like something has to click, whether it's the way
catch your attention
that they write in it, whether it's the content of what they're saying, or sometimes I have, you know, 15 people that were in the military that got out and then they got into hunting. Well, if I interview 15 people, their stories might be different, but it's the same topic.
And that's a whole separate podcast at that point, you
know. Exactly. Like, yeah. You would have to have another podcast of like military members or waterfowlers. Mm-hmm. I have dozens of waterfowl guides, whether it's part-time or full-time, reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And although I'm sure all of them have awesome stories, are very interesting, I just can't have only waterfowl people on the podcast. Yeah. It's about more than that. So just
The computer side of it and the social media side of it, Dan's not, his favorite thing to do is record and just to talk talking. With people and share stories, sharing stories. So the back end stuff of, hey, you got to edit these YouTube episodes. We need to publish these. We need to, post this. Hey, it's our batch day for TikTok. We need to record TikToks. Like, we have fun with it. We really do. But your passion is, hunting, but.
Hunting and sharing stories. Yeah. Yeah. I think I really do believe that 2022 is going to be an awesome year for a lot of this stuff.
I'm excited. And you mentioned the new network.
Yep. So I have officially switched over to the Sportsman's Nation podcast network. And
super exciting.
I've been talking with Dan Johnson for quite a while. I talk to him at least every couple days now, whether it's messaging or getting on the phone with him. And so there's a lot of cool opportunities through that. I think that joining his network is going to be awesome for both him and I. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he and I can get together and
good hunt connections this year. For that.
I told him, I was like, man, listen, I'll join the podcast, or I'll join the network, but you and I better hunt at some point together.
It's so crazy to me because November of 2020 when we were painting Sis's duplex. Do you remember?
Probably somewhere around there.
And we helped my sister paint, and every day we were listening to Wired to Hunt with Mark Kenyon. I'm learning these names. And Dan Johnson was on, and constantly Dan, my husband, is like, I'd love to sit down with Dan one day and record an episode with him or just chat with him. Like, and so now him
but
being
on. But it was
a
pie in the sky dream.
Oh,
and
for
I
sure.
was like, oh, maybe one if day. I'm lucky, one day it'll happen. And you kept saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen.
And he reached out one day about being on the show, and Dan Johnson's like, sure, send me the link. And Dan was like, oh my gosh. But now it's just awesome. Like, having those opportunities and no dream is too far. And so kind of placing some dreams and thinking about what could be and what could happen. The fact that some of those are coming true is awesome. I'm excited for you, babe. I'm proud of you too.
Yeah, it's been surreal for sure. But
yeah, I think it'll open a lot of opportunities, and
a lot of it's been like what you've done with the social media side of it, because I had almost no listens.
Yeah.
And not a ton of people were engaging. And then all of a sudden you posted a few things on social media and it took off.
Yeah, the power of social media is crazy. And at the time, we didn't have the money to put into advertising or marketing. And so it's like just sharing our story of it was, we on the job side of it, he helped me renovate RVs. We did that together, but he did quit his job, and it was kind of like a cold turkey type of thing where he had this dream of starting a podcast. And then one day he's like, all right, I'm going to do it. And so, sharing the story of that and just the support that I have for him and helping him, this is a 2-person job.
It's been wild. What would you like to see from me in 2022? Because obviously, my schedule.
Yeah.
That once hunting season starts, it gets really, really crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just thought of one more. Sorry.
That's okay.
That
was a deep question too, so it'll give me time to think.
I know. I want to kill a turkey the right way this year.
What do you mean the right way?
So
there's a right way and a wrong.
There's not a wrong way, but there's
the wrong placement.
I guess like the traditional way.
Okay.
So traditionally, you get out there, you may set out a couple decoys, you call, they respond, you work them in, they come in to your decoys, and then you shoot them.
Yeah.
I've never killed a turkey like that. I've gotten close. Mm-hmm. I've had turkeys within 3 yards of me, but on the neighbor's property that have come in, they've worked, they've done what I thought they should. They just didn't want to cross a fence. I've had a turkey that came in, but it wasn't due to my calling. It wasn't responding to my calling. I watched it for a couple hours, and then it finally made it over to me and then got in a tussle with other turkeys that ended up showing up. But none of it was because of me.
Yeah.
I've done spot and stalk turkey hunting, which has been successful. I've had turkeys come into my decoys when I had just gone on a walk. Like this past year, Drew and I went for a walk, checked to see if there were turkeys in these other fields that were close by. And when we came back, we had turkeys sprinting like all out across the field.
So just on their own.
Towards our decoys. But I've never sat turkey hunted, called one in successfully, and shot it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is going to be the final straw of whether or not I get addicted to turkey hunting. Well, people do. People are like die hard, sold out, don't care about anything else but
turkeys. Do we need, you have the turkey fan.
Yep.
Do we need the...
Nope. Okay. Because that's not going to help me do it traditionally.
Okay. Oh, that's true.
The turkey fan helps me do it the non-traditional way. Okay,
that makes sense.
At least for here or for what?
Do you need a new turkey call? Do you need to practice more?
Oh, I definitely need
and
to practice
more. And just more time out there?
I've put zero effort into practicing.
Oh, yeah, because it's all whitetail.
Well, and there's so many turkeys where I hunt that odds of you shooting one are pretty high.
Yeah.
Even if you don't call or put out a decoy.
Yeah.
Like I could literally just sit on one of the fence rows and probably shoot one every 2 or 3 days.
And they're pretty consistent in like where they nest and where they.
Yeah. Where they roost, where they feed.
That's it.
They're very patternable. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, that's what I've seen out there. They walk the same routes. They're on the same trail cameras all the time.
Yeah.
So I think it would be cool to actually see one come in, get all puffed up, be ready to fight, shoot it, and then I'll know, is this something that I will be addicted to?
Or is it just here and there?
Because I haven't caught the bug yet.
Yeah.
And a lot of people...
You're making it harder for me, because then I just have to have more recipes and more game cooking.
It's turkey.
Yeah, but every time I've cooked a wild turkey that you've...
You don't need
harvested.
More recipes. You have both
it's
of the meat eater.
It's too dry. That's true.
How often do you open those up and go buy them?
Well, currently they're in a box, but not very often.
Exactly.
Because I just find my own recipe. I mean, venison and elk is pretty much beef. Oh, there's a little difference. I will say I haven't been tasting the game. I'm sorry. It's
like
not
that.
Pretty much beef. But the way you cook it, that's what I mean. It is not beef. Hear me out. But the way you cook it is pretty much the same, right?
Yes. You can use the same recipes.
I cook the roast venison the same way I cook beef roast or pot roast and elk steaks or venison steaks. We cook very similar to beef steaks. And so with turkey, I just always dry it out. But that's on the chef's side, not the turkey side. So I can't blame the turkey.
Fix that.
Okay, deal.
Figuring out new recipes. Maybe that's one
that's
of your
That's my
things.
Goal for 2020.
Boom, write that down. You've got pages
2022.
So figuring out new recipes that we like, trying to switch it up.
Tag us in or send us some of your favorite recipes too.
Ooh, that's a good
Sam
idea.
Sam needs help.
I think that if we do that get together and people do a wild game feed, you can bring, you know, some walleye fillets or frog legs or quail or pheasant. Ooh, pheasant.
Pheasant, oh my gosh.
That's one thing that's we one don't have down too. Here that we wish we did.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good list of things that we want to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
that we want to change
Business,
for this year.
Hunting.
I'm excited to get Canyon out. Mm-hmm. I think this year he's going to be coming out and sitting with me. I got a blind last year, that I didn't really use, but now that he's getting older and can kind of understand more what's going on. To have him come and sit with me,
I think he
will
be love
a lot
that.
Of fun, especially turkey season.
How early can he hunt? Because he's 5, he'll be 6 at the end of August.
I need to look at it. It's different in every state, and I feel like the ages change quite a bit. So for me, it was 12, I believe, is when I could first hunt. Down here, though,
I feel like that's so late.
I know. Down here, I think you can hunt way earlier. Are you looking it up right now?
I'm not the best at it.
Let me know when you find it, because I think you can hunt very young here in Missouri. If not, you can
when
hunt
I saw
very
on
young
TikTok,
in other states.
That girl who was, what, 6?
6, yeah.
And it was, I think, a crossbow.
The farther south you get, I feel like the lower the age requirements are for the most part. The farther west you get, the higher the age requirements are, and same with the north.
Okay.
But
so this says you must be 11 years or older to complete hunter education, but... I think it talks about like the apprentice hunting.
Well, there's special rules for apprentice hunting where you don't have to have education. Mm-hmm. You can sit with a parent or an adult with an active hunting license. And so I've just got to figure all of that out.
Yeah. I may be looking at
that. That might be a call for MDC.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Youth hunters age 6 to 15.
So
as long as they have a permit with them, which costs $850.
So next year he could technically go out for the youth hunt.
That would be fun, babe. That's like goal number one. Are you ready for that?
I don't know that I am. That is crazy to me. Like I thought.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I'm super excited and I'm taking him out every chance I get, if that's the case. If he can come out and hunt with me and actually shoot.
Yeah.
But we've got to get him used to shooting.
Oh yeah. So we need to start now. Start with a little like court gun or something.
Well, I'm gonna have to go buy him a rifle that he can shoot that's not gonna just destroy him.
Yeah.
Same with a shotgun. I mean,
is this your boy to get another gun? Just kidding.
I'm always
trying. We were at Bass Pro yesterday for our anniversary. Did you tell him what you got?
No, I didn't.
And what I got? I had a dream about mine last night.
You did?
Yes. I was at a convenience store and someone came up to the car and I had like a bunch of cash on me and they're like, hey, do you have change for 100? I'm like, yes, but first go in the store, because I was going to pull it out of my wad of, for some reason I had a wad of cash. I was going to pull it out of my wad of cash without him standing right next to me. So I was like, if they don't have it, then come back and I'll give it to you. And then I can't remember what else happened, but like I went into the store and then like stuff was happening outside. And you know, in your dreams, how like you can't run fast enough. You can't
nothing.
I took it out. I had it like, you know, in the back holster, like we talked about, but I didn't have to use it, but I felt like if I needed to, I didn't know how. So I was like, I woke up in the morning. I'm like, okay, we need to go to the range. Like, I mean, it's a new gun. We haven't sighted in a handgun in a long time. Well, I feel comfortable with rifle.
Very little.
Yeah.
With a pistol.
So I have a Ruger 390 Max CP30. Just kidding. What is it called?
It's an LCP.
LCP Max 380.
Good job. So
I have my ammo. What is it? Start again. LCP Max 380.
There you go.
Ruger. So super excited about it. But yeah, I just need to practice with it. That way I'm ready if I have to use it.
Yep. We'll get out and do a bunch of shooting.
And you
get you ready at the range. I got a Glock 43, which is, it's a 9mm single stack.
Our goal going in, I mean, we've been had a goal for 5 years to have a handgun, to have pistols.
Well, we've had plenty of them throughout the years.
We would just sell and trade guns and
buy, sell, trade. Yep. We realize we don't use it. It's not the one that we want. Yeah. So we get a different one.
So our goal
finally
going
we were like, hey, you know what? We'll just get some that we're going to keep. And then if we want to build off of those, we can. But these are the ones we're just going to hold on to for a while.
Yeah.
But while we were there,
looking at a couple of different things roam.
Because it was our 8th anniversary. And
he's thinking he could get lucky.
I am the gift guy. She doesn't care about gifts at all.
If you guys are familiar with love languages, Dan's number one love language is gifts.
And my number two, five are all gifts.
Your number two is physical touch. But yes, my number five is gifts. So I do not like receiving gifts. If I want something, I will buy it for myself. But there's not a lot of things I want.
Yeah.
Dan loves it. So I'm like, okay, for 8th anniversary, like, let's just go to Bass Pro. You tell me what you want. We did a TikTok about it and it got some.
Well, and it's funny because we just went there and I'd finally switched back to a Missouri driver's license, which we've been here for years. And we still had Colorado licenses.
I think
licenses.
I just dread the DMV so much that I'm like, I don't want to go in.
Well,
there.
It was between that and COVID and just the chaos that was going on.
Yeah.
And then finally I was like, I should probably switch this back. Like,
and good thing you did.
It's time. Well, and luckily I never got stopped by MDC because if I was out hunting, they'd probably be like, why do you have a resident license and a non-resident driver's license?
Yeah, that's true.
And
it's easier to
luckily I've done things by the book this entire time. So when I go to Colorado, even though I have a Colorado driver's license, I'm still buying non-resident tags.
And I can vouch for that because our bank statements prove it.
Oh yeah. But there's things like that where I'm like, okay, if there was any question, I could prove to them I'm buying resident licenses in one state. But all that said, I was like, finally that I've got an in-state license, I can actually go and buy a firearm in Missouri again.
Yeah.
So went and got that.
Tell them what you were looking at.
Well, my goal wasn't even to necessarily go and buy those. I just wanted to go and look. And then mm-hmm. we found a couple that we liked. But the guy was like, hey, as I do this, it's easy. If you do want another firearm, mm-hmm. it's easier to add this than to run a separate transaction and background yeah. check and all of that later on. And so I was like, you know what? Let me go take a look. So I went over and I looked at a couple new shotguns. One thing that I don't have.
You pulled down a Benelli.
Well, hold on. I looked at several because they had the Browning A5 in blotch camo,
yeah.
which I've always liked the blotch camo. I've had several like hunting clothing items in that. And I looked at that. Then I was looking at the Benelli Super Black Eagle 3 20 gauge, which a lot of people are probably going to be like, a 20 gauge, are you kidding me? I love shooting a 20 gauge. I always have. That's what I'm currently shooting. It's just a much, much older gun. It's a pump. It only accepts 2¾-inch shells. And I want something that I can hunt all year long with.
And Dan proceeds to tell me, I have an old shotgun. I think I need another one. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, all the guys give me a hard time about it when we go out in the field.
Oh,
I'm
it's
like,
funny. Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay.
Every time I go out, Drew, who's been on the show multiple times, is like, hey, when are you going to get a real shotgun? And I'm like, dude, I can shoot just as good as you with this thing. But it definitely does give me more issues. And it doesn't, there's a lot of things that it doesn't do. I know I could get the...
It doesn't have a sling on it, or you can't have a sling.
I can. I just need to buy a couple of replacement parts. So at the end of the tube magazine, there's typically a little like receiver for a sling.
Mm-hmm.
And mine doesn't have that. It came off at some point during cleaning or even before I had it. It's just never had it since I've used the gun. But in addition to that, it cannot accept a choke, which for shotgun hunting, people understand.
Yeah. Like,
that's a big deal. This is the type of gun. I mean, I used to shoot rifled slugs out of this exact same barrel. Like, this was my gun that I used from the get-go deer hunting out in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I've killed so many different animals with this gun, but I think it's time to get something that is going to be more proficient for especially turkey hunting, because you
this
do
is
need
how he
a
convinces
pattern.
Me.
You were almost convinced like, yesterday.
I was
you almost.
Well, I at first I didn't know you wanted the. I didn't know you had the Glock 2. I don't know what I was doing, but I didn't see you like tell him which one. So if you just wanted the Benelli, I probably would have said yes, but I was like, oh, we can't do that total right now.
We'll probably get it before turkey season.
Yeah.
I'll go back and pick
it up. I didn't say no. I just said not right now.
That's true.
And then we were also looking at the Vortex spotting scope, which that's what I wanted to get him for the anniversary. But then it was,
I thought you did. I really did, because I went on the Amazon cart and it just wasn't there anymore. I had put it in the cart. It wasn't there. It wasn't in like the saved for laters. It wasn't in the recent purchases. And I'm like, I wonder if there's a feature where you can like hide the purchase on here.
Probably not.
And maybe she bought it and like told
and
the system
is why,
to hide it and not show it.
This is why I just take him to Bass Pro and be like, you pick out what you want. One, we know everything about like with purchases. I see everything that he purchases. So there's no way he can like surprise me with something or, you know.
And like, you don't like them anyway.
Exactly. I'll tell you what I want and I want to go get it. So with gifts and stuff, we just get what we want or go take the person to get what they want, because you're sneaky and you would have found out anyways.
Listen, anybody out there, if you've got someone who is a gifts person.
Yes.
If you don't know for sure what they want.
Don't just get them something random.
Don't just get them a pair of socks. Okay. Socks and underwear are not Christmas presents. I'm just saying that right now. That's back to school crap right there. You don't get people that for Christmas.
I mean, if you need
them.
If
you get someone the wrong present, it's worse than not getting them anything at all.
It's true. Oh my gosh.
Just throwing that out there. Anyways. Well, I think that's a pretty good 2020 wish list.
Yeah.
Slash.
You had the one question that we deviated from.
Yes.
I just don't know how you want me to answer. You said, what do I want from you or hope for, expect for from you in 2020?
Yeah.
What do you like?
It could be
personally.
Well, no, I mean, people don't care about a relationship. I'm talking like hunting podcasts, hunting things podcast like that. Podcast
wise, I'd love for you to do.
Like, what are your expectations or goals for me? Like, maybe because you always have higher goals for me than I set for myself.
I'm a goals person. I like to list. I like to meet goals, cross them off, set, you know, high standards for myself. But I'd say for you on the business side of things, I mean, I felt like you're doing amazing. I would hope for some awesome opportunities for you. Some more connections. I love the idea of doing a vendor booth or two or going to a couple of trade shows. Dan is such a personable person. And if you've listened or you've been on the podcast, you know that. I always say he can make friends with a rock, but he's funny. He's relatable.
As long as the rock wears camo and hunts.
Or camps or play sports. Like, he can always find common ground on something. And so doing a trade show type of thing, I think, would be good just to connect with people. I don't know. I can't really say like what connections I hope for or expect. Like, you know, there's some big name people and big name businesses that I'd love to, you know, do partnerships with for you, but I feel like you're doing it. Just keep crushing it, babe. And yeah.
Nice. I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good year.
Do you want to touch on merch really quick?
Merch. So check it out. We've got a couple new, not logo designs necessarily, but t-shirt and hat designs with the Nomadic Outdoorsman, Hunt Fish Camp. We might put a couple out there and get some feedback.
I mean, graphic designer just sent us last night a few new logos. I could get the shop and product ready within a week. Do you want to launch in a week, or did you want to do February 1st like we talked about?
I want to launch as soon as possible. I like what we have going right now. We've got some stuff in the shop
and we ordered a few samples.
Hasn't been available to the general public yet, but we've got samples coming, and so I'm excited to get those. And then we're going to keep launching new t-shirt, hat, sticker designs. And so anyways, we got some logo work back yesterday. I think a couple of them would look really, really awesome on a shirt or a hat.
Yeah. Stickers, mugs,
and then we've got
hoodies.
Some more just t-shirt concepts in the works right now that we'll probably hear back on maybe today or tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, we saw those.
And so those will be coming out. But I think we launched the first set right away.
Okay. Maybe the next episode will announce the date of release.
So might as well say February, because by the time the next episode is recorded and put out, it's going to be February.
Really? Let me tell you why I like the February, because we can have more designs ready. We can have the prototypes in hand, the samples in hand for you to wear and rep and like
at this point
to show.
We're not even recording a podcast. They're just sitting in on a business meeting.
Which is how our dates normally go. This is just an insight.
Yeah, we might as well be sitting at Culver's eating right now.
You would probably prefer that.
Yes, I would.
Okay, we'll let you know. Okay, it's your merch, your business, your podcast. You tell them.
Deal. Well, keep an eye out, guys. I will be posting. I may do a couple surveys and see which designs you guys like best. And then we'll go from there. So 2022 is going to be an awesome year.
I'm excited. I'm excited for you.
I know. Can't wait. Thanks, babe.
Love you.
Love you. And that is going to wrap it up for this episode of the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope you are setting goals and New Year's resolutions for yourselves in the outdoors. Another thing, I don't think we talked about this at all. I want to do some more canoeing. I used to go canoeing and camping all the time here in Missouri. I mean, I'm talking when it's nice out, when the river conditions are right, I'd be out 3 weekends a month. And now we've got a couple kids, they're old enough to where they can hike around with us, they can enjoy the scenery, they can enjoy swimming and fishing. And so I think as a family, that's going to be something that we focus a lot more on. But like I said, hopefully you guys have some goals that you're going to try to reach, and some animals that you're going to pursue, new adventures that maybe you're a little outside your comfort zone, and you guys can push yourselves past that discomfort and go after a new game animal in a new state or a new type of hunting. Whatever that looks like for you, please feel free to share it. I love connecting with my listeners. I love connecting with the audience of the Nomadic Outdoorsman. And so I'd love to hear where you guys are going to go, what you're going to be doing in 2022. So follow along. It's going to be an awesome year, and that's going to do it. Until next time, always choose adventure, and God bless.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.